was blind, but now I see.
Let's just remain standing if you'd like to follow along in reading of your scripture. Revelation 6, verse 7 and 8, and then Revelations 19, verse 17 through 21. It's good to see each one of you out. It's good to see Brother Hantus and his family, Richard, his family with us. We appreciate each one of you being with us and fellowshipping with us. Going to be anywhere tonight? Did you speak for us? Brother Hantus, and the Lord willing, be speaking for us tonight. I want to try to get to an end of something here, and then maybe we can make it a little more, be a little bit more enjoyable to the younger ones. The older ones are kind of seasoned in the way of seeing things and knowing the way I talk and everything like that. But the younger ones kind of, I guess, get a little upset at me sometimes because I just keep pounding on one certain thing and keep going that away until they can try to get them to see it. But you just pray for me, because that's the only way I can be, is just be me. And I can't be nothing else but me. But let's just read our scripture, Revelation 6, which will be the fourth seal. And that's what we're speaking on the fourth seal. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beasts of the earth. Now let's read Revelations 19, because this morning, the Lord willing, we're going to try to speak on Armageddon. And so we'll read the scripture from Revelations 19, verse 17 through 21. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, "Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of the kings, and the flesh of the captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both great, small, and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." Let's just pray together. Father, we ask you that you'd guide us this morning. Speak to us what you'd have to be said. Forgive our sins. Bless the people, bless those that are not here. Guide us all by your loving grace. May we look to you for understanding this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been trying now for quite a while to get, before I forget it, remember to pray for Dean Gibby. Brother Gibby's brother, Dean Gibby, you know, there in Atlanta. He's going for some tests Monday. I had it written here and forgot to, of course, you prayed for him, but just remember this special request. He's going for some tests to be run. They're still having problems with his sugar and his muscle control in his arm, and things is messed up. So just remember to pray for him, and that the Lord would guide him and take care of him through these tests. But we've been trying to get to a place of seeing some things, and this, maybe the Lord willing, this morning we can wrap up the Antichrist side of seeing what he does and the things that he does during the seals, and then maybe we can get into some things that will pick up and be a little more enlightening to some of the younger ones, because I understand it's hard for a person just to come out here and start talking about seals and thunders and trumpets and vials and things, and then especially some of you young kids maybe never read the Bible very much in those orders and things. But all we're trying to see is how this thing will come to an end. Because we've studied that from the seals this time, studying them in 79, seeing some of the things that opened up to us then, and then feeling led to go back through and speak again upon the seals, but this time just more or less taking it as the Lord would give it, and not to try to sit down and study it right down the line, you know, as you'd say in teaching order, but to try to preach a little while on it and do some teaching and everything else involved in it. But what have we seen now? This fourth beast, we saw the first seal reveals the Antichrist as a spirit, that is, he goes forth working among the people. See, we used to believe that that was the white horse rider, that was the Holy Spirit riding on that early church, you know, and all. But then we saw that the Holy Spirit was standing here, the Lamb, the Dove, the one true and living God, and there went riding out a rider, so we know that's not right. We saw that it was a spirit. Now, the Antichrist, see, it was a rider that was on the back of the horse, but the Antichrist is a spirit. Don't never put it down as to try to find the Antichrist in the Bible as a man, because you'll run aground and you can't find it. But if you'll take it as a spirit that works among the people, a power, see, a ministry, because that's what we're covering. We got through last week to where that we saw the fourth horse as a pale horse, and that was a ministry. Well, see, in that we can see a ministry of that Antichrist spirit as it goes forth. Then your second seal picked him up as a false prophet and showed him there as a, the Bible called it. See, the Bible didn't call him a name or nothing like that. Just called him a false prophet. Well, then you have to have the Holy Spirit, and he that hath wisdom, let him count the number of the beast and things like that to understand what the false prophet, the beast, and all that is. Well, see, then we found the false prophet as he worked down through that time during that red horse that he had power to kill and kill 68 million Protestants. But now watch it in a minute. Even after all of that killing, that the Protestants were killed by the Catholic during the ages of the time there of the church in the early stages, even after all of that killing, watch them after a while join forces to go after Israel, because that's where their forces comes from. But yet they killed 68 million through that false prophet. Now, I'm taking it from 301 and 325. There's two different places there where he covers it of the seal book. He says he kills with a sword, the false prophet. That's your second one. Then the third one, he picks it up as a doctrine on 325. And on 301, he covers what that is. It was a viper, the incarnate Antichrist spirit. See, not the beast now. The incarnate Antichrist spirit became a false prophet to a false system, which was a pope, and he had power then to rule over heaven, earth, and purgatory. That was what he taught him, because that way he could keep control of the people with that, because he had everything in his control. He had the jobs, he had the heaven, he had the purgatory, he had everything in his control, because that was what he was. But then in the fourth stage, we found that it was eternal separation, because it showed, if you notice in the scripture we read, that this one that now in this time had a name written. And his name was called Death. Now in that, what did we find last week? Who called it Death? Why couldn't we read the Bible, as I said, and understand that it was Death? Well, we could read the letter of it, and we could see that he had a name called Death, and hell followed him. But yet it took the combat beast of this age to bring it to a place that where you could see that that beast was death, eternal separation from God. All right? Then in that part, we found that if it's eternal separation, now if it's eternal separation, then there can't be an eternal hell. See, if death means eternal separation, then there can't be an eternal hell, because then hell would just be to whatever time God would allow you to be punished. But then that would finally come to an end, because it would be tied with death. And see, we covered it, death with hell following it, and how that a natural man, when he dies, he goes to hell. after dying, but in the spiritual, you see that when a man dies, then he goes over there, and the second death is a death of the soul. See, then it would be eternal separation. But we found the fourth horse. What color is the fourth horse? Pale. What does it take to make pale? White. First horse. Second horse, red. Third horse, black. Put all them colors together and what have you got? Pale. You got a pale horse. We found though that what each horse showed, like a white horse, that showed a white righteous church. That showed what was happening to a church during the time there. Then the second seal showed a red horse. What did it show? It showed the church being killed. See, something happening to the church. Then the black horse, what did it show? It showed the dark ages that the church was having to go through. Well, then when you come down to the pale horse, we read it last week on 321 of the seal book, that it was the pale horse of the world. In other words, a worldly church. A church that had gone into the world so much until it was just pale, sickly. And you'll find in your Bible that this time is where God said, I would that you were cold or hot. See, in the seventh age, it was to be to where he said, I wish you was either cold or hot. If you was cold, see, you could be helped. If you was hot, then you'd be on fire for the Lord. But this age is showed as what? Lukewarm. The best thing to get a person to vomit with is what? Lukewarm water. There's just something to mess you up. Well, then that's the way it is showed in this age and time of where we're at, that the church is so pale, sickly looking. It's such a worldly thing. Until just look out there now and see. All of them had Santa Claus running around giving out presents in the church. Well, now, where would that fit anywhere in the Scripture? They don't even know enough about the Bible to even make their, what they call it, nativity scenes. You ever notice they'll have the scenes out in front of the church and everything, and they'll have the shepherds on one side, and they'll have the little baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Then on the other side, they'll have the three wise men. Well, if you study your Bible, you find out the three wise men didn't get there till Jesus was about 2 years old. He was already in a house. What is that where it says on earth peace? They've changed that around. See, it doesn't mean exactly what they changed the scripture, every which way it goes there. They've changed it in their postcards they sent out because there never will be peace on this earth. You'll never have peace on this earth. I mean, this earth will never come to peace. It's always wars and rumors of wars. But on earth, you can have peace in your heart. But they changed the scriptures around, talked about, see, like this peace on earth. And there will be peace on earth. See, it never will be that way. Just look at all of your things that's tied up with it. But now, we saw the rider is the same rider of all four horses. He just changed horses. The horse goes on, but the rider gets off, gets on the next one. Well, then first you've seen him as the Antichrist. See, that was a stage of his ministry. Then you saw him as a false prophet. That was the second stage of his ministry. Then the third stage of his ministry, what was it? A ruler of heaven, earth, and purgatory. See, that was the third stage of his ministry. But then the fourth stage is the beast. And we read it last week showing how that it was a stage now of his ministry. In other words, that's what was going on at the time. You can see the church and what they go through. That's the symbol of it, you know, of the horse. Then you see the rider and what he goes through. But we saw his name is called Death. And only in the Eagle Age was he called Death. No one else ever knew anything about it, that he would be called Death. But what did we find? He was Death when he started. We covered that from the seal book. I believe that's page 300. Right on the bottom of the left-hand side of the page. I believe it's 300. Brother Brown said he was Death when he started. All right, then it wasn't just that. See, that's why the secret was there. We could read the Bible and say, well, it says here that his name was called Death. He was Death when he started out as an Antichrist. That was Death. To be Antichrist is to be anti-word. To be anti-word is Death. See, then Death is what would come down to eternal separation. All right, now let's just see if we can find something there. There is a beast that everybody's always looked for in the Bible, you know, and all down through time they've tried to study about who was going to be this great beast that would come in the end time, you know, and they'd try to figure out who the Antichrist was. You know, they'd try to figure out that Antichrist, and they'd say, well, maybe the Antichrist is going to be this man. Maybe Reagan's going to be the Antichrist, because he is, what is it? Ronald Reagan, there's a middle name in there. Each one of them's got 6 letters in it. If I ain't mistaken on that, there's something about somebody tried to show me one time how Reagan would be that. I said, well, that might be true, but he don't rule the world religiously. See, you don't have that. But it says, count the number of the man, because the number is a number of his name. Well, then you couldn't figure out probably Ronald Reagan and come down with 666. But yet take the Pope that's now with our Pope Paul the VI or ever what he is, or the II, I don't even keep up with him, really. But you figure his name. His name wouldn't come out to be 666, probably. You're not looking at that because the Bible tells you one is and not and is and not and is and not, because it's a succession of popes down through there. It's not just one pope. The Bible tells you that. One is and not and is and not, and the sixth comes out of the seventh comes out of the sixth, and then the eighth out of the seventh. It just keeps going on. And the prophet said that's a succession of popes. Well, then don't look at him, but what do you look at? Look at what his... look at his power that we covered last week. Look at where he gets that control and all from. And where is it from? It's from that crown they set on his head when they crowned him Pope. And that triple ruling crown written over it then is a sign that says Vicarius Filii Dei, which means Viker, or one who stands in, or instead of God. Then take Vicarius Filii Dei and figure that down, you'll come out with 666. See, it's the number of the man. It's not the Pope. This feller could die. I hate to say some of them things like that sometimes, because the last time when that feller was voted in, everybody had him down as, boy, they was just telling him, this man's got to be the one to do this, and this man's got to be the one to do... I stood right here in the church then. I said, don't do it that way, because this man don't have to live very long. Less than 30 days, he's dead. That wasn't because I said it that he died, but it's just something I saw. Don't go after a man and try to figure out the Antichrist is this man, or the beast is this man, or that one and that or the other. Look at what the seal reveals. Then you'll see how he comes to that power. See, that's what you got to watch, is how he comes. He's just a figurehead. He finally becomes Satan incarnate in that one man. That's in the tribulation after we're done gone and everything. And that's what we're studying about, is the final battle of Armageddon that will be after we're gone. But just think now. A beast means a power among the people. Now, that's not just talking about the combat beast either. It's on 307 of the seal book, because that's what the Antichrist is, the beast. It means power among the people. Then think of it now. No one knew about this beast until the end time, because it was a mystery locked in the fourth seal. And it took the prophet messenger to bring the message to where we could see the beast then as it would come forth. But now, what did we find last week? How does Satan get his power? How does he get his power? Beast means a power among the people. Now, how does Satan get his power? He gets his power from his false teaching of the Word. We covered it on 308 of the sealed book, how that his power is in the Trinity, his crown is in the Trinity, all the things. That's where he gets his power from. It's a perversion of the Word. Because we covered it, and we're just reviewing now this morning to where you can catch where we're at, because Romans 13:1 says there's only one power. The others are a permitted power. There is no such thing as Satan's power. Then you're reading the Bible that Satan's got power to call down fire out of heaven. But just remember, what are we looking at? It? How are we looking at it this time? Satan has no power except what God permits him to use. If we can look at that, then we can see what I was trying to get to the other day, that death's not a power. Death is a perversion of life. It's a perverted thing. Then we found from page 11 of The Greatest Battle Ever Fought that Brother Branham showed us that Satan has no power. He brought it out and told us he has no power. Only what he does is perverts what God has. All right, then if he perverts the Word, what does he pervert it with? The Word teaches one God, one true and living God, and he perverts it with his Trinitarian idea. Now, later on, you'll see more about this where it gathers his forces. But I was talking to a man this week about one God, and I was trying to show him water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and he said, "Yeah, you're just oneness." I said, "No, sir, I'm not oneness." Well, when he got through, you know what he said? Now, Pentecostal preacher. He said, "Well, I figure that three's better than one any time." And he said, "I'll take my three over your one." I said, go ahead. Take your three over my one, but you ain't got no Bible for it. "Well, I'll take my three's better than one." I said, "Yeah, I heard of a man one time that when he prayed for the sick, he anointed with three and one oil, too. Because he's such a much Trinitarian. And stood there just trying my best to get him to see something from it, you know. But yet, what was it? That power that had been taught him all of his life through the organizational system was what was standing there talking with me. See, that power had captivated the man until he would go contrary to the Bible to try to prove something. And he'd holler and get everybody to come around, you know, and gathering them all in where he could. He'd holler real loud and tell them, "Come over here. This man here is a oneness." I told him after a while, I said, "Come on back later when me and you can talk quietly." I said, "I don't have to have an audience. And maybe if you can come back and talk with me when you don't have to have one, we maybe can talk a little." Because he had to have that power pulling from them others that was around there, you know, drawing like this from him. Because Brother Brown said them spirits pull each other. You watch them. See, if you'll watch, you'll see the greatest battle. We're taking the natural side of it to where it comes to an end this morning, but then we'll go back and see the spiritual side of where we come down through there and all the things that are happening. But Satan only perverts the Word. He has no power. Death is not a power. It's a release from this pest house. It's something to get you out of this condition that you're in. Because once you fail, where'd you fall to? You fell to a realm of Satan. And now we want to get out of that realm. And until the rapture comes, no one will get out of it except by the gate called death. Well, then if the rapture was 500 years from now, what would it be like for you to try to live that long? Death is a permitted thing. Then why fear it? Why be afraid of death? It's a permitted thing. It's something God permits. It's a permitted power. It's not a power of its own. It's just like all of these things that are in here. these electric lights, these fans running. They don't have no power of their own. There's no such thing as perpetual motion. They've got as close as they can get to it, but there's no such thing as perpetual motion, which means something running off of its own force without an added attraction, you know, an added thing to keep it going. They can put a battery in there, but it's still got to run off the battery. See, there's something back there pushing it. Or in the spiritual realm, there's something allowing it to happen. We saw it in the book of Job, that Job, even under the blood of bulls and goats, Satan couldn't get to Job. He couldn't touch him. Why? Because God had a hedge built around him. He was protecting the man. Well, then why should we fear death? We found from the first seal that Satan's just a bluff. Now, that's just from the first seal. Satan's just a bluff. And we covered last week in there in Isaiah where the people say, is this the man, after they seen Satan cast down to the side of the pit, is this the man that we was all scared of? See, we're not taking what the prophet said, take the word. The word says Satan has no power, then all right, let's stand on the word. And then we'll see it finally death just becomes something along the highway. If time goes on, death will take me. But what is it? It's just something along the highway. Satan one of these days, brother, I said, you'll see him in something along the way. He has no power. Now get that point before we go on even into what we would see of the seal. It's a permitted power. God permitted Satan to get after Job. Now watch this. God permitted two men called Jannes and Jambres to withstand Moses and do every miracle that he done. That's page 32 of the Anointed Ones at the End Time. He permitted that. God permitted Jannes and Jambres to come out there and withstand Moses, and the same anointing that was on Balaam to do something before God, the same anointing was on Moses to do it. And God permitted that to happen. That wasn't something out of Cater. I saw something this morning there while I was sitting in the back room thinking on that. Do you realize that in doing that, think of this thought now this morning. God permitted, according to page 35 of the Anointed Ones at the End Time, God permitted those things to happen to fulfill His Word. He permitted Jannes and Jambres to come out and do that to gather the people and take them away where they could be destroyed. He permitted Balaam to come out and do that where it could be that way. He permitted all of those things to happen of Ahab and Jezebel and all that to get the Word to be fulfilled. Now think about that. Think on this for a second. God, before the world ever begun, saw what would happen, didn't He? He could have changed that. That's what come to me this morning. If He'd have wanted to, He could have changed that. He could erase that out before the world ever begun. He had the power that when He saw it come across her, that He could erase that out. And it would have not have been that way. You say He don't have, He does. He had the power then to change it if He'd have wanted to, because the very fact of what the prophet said proves He did. He permitted it to happen. He allowed it to happen. He could have kept it from doing it. He allowed it to happen to prove me and you. He's allowed this to come down like it is in the hour that we're living. What for? To prove us. What did we read the other night from page 9 of God in this evil age? That this bride in the end time would be tested by the word that was given to her? To prove to her that she wouldn't fall like Eve fell in the beginning? Well, see, then just think. God allowed that to happen. Then all of these things that's happening, what does the Bible say about it? All things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now that's what the scripture says about it, eh? Then why should we why should fear be there then? Why should we worry about death or anything like that? See, it's just permission. Something permitted. But now, think about it a minute now. We've got to be tried by the Word. We found death's not a power of Satan, but only a permitted power of God to get us out of a pest house. Death is a perversion of life. As long as we take the perverted side, we die. Is that true? What was our main thought last Sunday night? What's causing the people of this message to die off like they're dying? Brothers and sisters that have not reached something, you know, that would take their life. People dying of things that wouldn't just normally take their life. What is it? They don't have enough faith to stand and take the change. They've got to go by the grave then. Maybe me and you. We may be in the same shape. But there's one thing about it. We'll come up in the resurrection. Who's worried about that part of it? But Satan gets his power from his teaching of the Trinity. Now I'm having to do this to get you to come up to see what Brother Branham covered on the forces. So let's look at where he gets his power from the Trinity out of Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Let's just read 12 first. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east, might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. Now, that's the three unclean spirits like frogs. That's your Trinitarian doctrine. It goes out of the mouth of somebody. Who did it go out of the mouth of? The dragon, Rome, the beast, the power, the false prophet, the Pope. Coming all the way down to where we are now. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of Almighty God. Now it says these three unclean spirits go forth working miracles unto the kings of the earth. Now think about it. These three unclean spirits where Satan gets his power from goes to every nation in the world. They go to every king in the world. Then you'll see Russia is nothing more than Catholics and Protestants. When you see the final battle. It says, unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of Almighty God. Now listen. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now he gathers them to a place called Armageddon through his teaching of the Trinity. And if you'll read page 56 of the Anointed Ones, the End Time, we've read it plenty of times, read the whole page. At the top of the page he says there's a new Trinity comes out of the old Trinity, talking about Rome and her things, that natural Rome that is done, and then they come out of that into the church where the Trinitarian doctrine teaches. Then when he gets to the bottom of the page, he says, here in the last days it would come out after the seals break. He said a Trinitarian doctrine would come out after the seals break. See, it's got to gather everybody. All but the elect gets caught with that. All but the bride of Christ gets caught with it. Then it comes out to the battle of Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period. And that's on page 514 if you want to put it down and read it of the seal book, where that Armageddon takes place right before the millennium. What is Armageddon? What is Armageddon? Look in your Bible. Scofield says it means the mount of slaughter. See, because of all these things that we read where they called the birds to come, they called every nation to come together, it means the mount of slaughter. But the word Armageddon, in taking it from Webster's definition, look what it says, the scene of the last battle between the powers of good and evil before the judgment day. See, even in the natural wording, they knew it. Armageddon is a termination of forces. That's why it's a mount of slaughter. It's a termination of forces. It's the final decisive battle between great nations, or Megiddo in Palestine. Now, everybody's looking for a showdown. You turn on your radio, you hear preachers talking about Armageddon is just about ready to happen. I heard a great man, or heard of him in this message, preaching about Armageddon. And he had airplanes flying all down through the valley of Megiddo, and because that was where the final battle was supposed to be fought. And how that those Israeli pilots were trained so much that they could drop a bomb in your back pocket and you standing there out of that airplane. They were so well trained. Well, that's good. That's good. But that's not the way the prophet brought it. That's a natural battle. That's a natural fight. He didn't take it that way on the fourth seal, because the fourth seal's got to cover to Israel in the natural battle of Armageddon, and the bride of Christ coming all the way down, and the termination of forces for her. But we're just covering the natural side of it. Everybody says, oh, that's a battle between Russia and Israel. People better wake up. The Bible says when you see Israel compassed about on all sides, it didn't say one side, Russia coming down. Now, is that what the Bible said? It said when you see Russia coming down on one side, what does the Bible say? The Bible says when you see Israel compassed about on all sides, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Well, then where are they gathered on all sides? Russia don't have Israel surrounded. The United States and her forces are on one side of Israel, and Russia and their forces are on the other side of Israel. But she's compassed about right now on all sides. You say, yes, but we're friends of Russia. We're the people. We stand with Russia. I mean with Israel. We stand with Israel. We're their friends. We'll fight for them. What does that make any difference to what we're talking about? We've done turned her back on Israel. And Brother Brown said, when you turned your back on her, said, that's it then. But just think now, where does those forces come from? Let's just read it for a minute, and then we'll just close this part of it out to where you can see the natural part of it. Let's watch the prophet. He was the one that knew how the battle would go and all about it. Let's just watch him as he covers the battle now of Armageddon, as it comes down to the final battle. And we'll start, it'll be reading from 317, 318 through 325, long in there. What's this all coming to? Now we've got just about 12 or 14 minutes here, I guess. Look what this is all coming to. What is it? It's going right back the way it did. It started in heaven. It's coming to the end time battle. The first thing in heaven was a battle. Lucifer was kicked out and come to the earth, then he polluted Eden. Then he's been polluting ever since. And now from the battle in heaven, it's coming to the battle on earth, and it's to be finished on earth at the end time in a battle called Armageddon. Anyone knows that. The battle started in heaven, holy, so they kicked them out, Michael and his angels, overthrew them, and run out. And when he did, he dropped down into Eden, and here started the battle down here, 318. Now the battle started in heaven. It'll be finished on earth in the form of Armageddon. Let's just watch and see it unfold. Now this is your fourth seal. Let's watch and see the fourth seal unfold, because we're going to look at the natural ending of the seal. You know, what we've been looking at is the end of each seal. The end of the first one, the end of the second, the end of the third. Now let's watch the end of the fourth seal in the natural thing that it shows. Maybe we can unfold it. The Lord help us right now to do this now. Watch it unfold. 321. Gathers them on their mixed colored horse. He's gathering this thing together, mixed with creeds, denominations, man-made doctrines. Is that right? Sure, a mixed color. The mixed color of the dead, pale horse of the world. Now that's right. Mixed colors of the dead, worldly form of the pale horse. Oh my, no holy blood of the word at all. And gather from the four corners of the earth. What? Gathering from the four corners of the earth. Three unclean spirits we read a while ago, loosed to gather them to this. Comes right down to it. Now the three unclean spirits loosed to gather them to this place. And under your sixth plague in Revelations 9 and 13, you'll find that 200,000 horsemen was loosed on natural Israel to drive her to the homeland. Those are demon spirits released, and 20 years later, which would have been somewhere in the 40s there, would have been somewhere in the 60s, that is loosed on the bride. See, loosed on the bride to drive her to the homeland, the message. Now where are they going? Those same 200,000 horsemen, where are they going? Gathering the people to a battle. Watch the forces now. Watch from the four corners of the earth. They gathered them to Armageddon. The Bible says, I'm trying to think of the scriptures. We got them wrote down here. I haven't called them, but they were written down. See, what they are, gathers them together to the great day of the battle of the Lord God. That's the one we just read, Revelation 16. Gathers them four corners. Now on this mixed colored, worldly, pale, sick horse, just think of it. You know that's a bad thing. Now watch, where's he gathers them? From the four corners of the earth. They're gathering now for the showdown. The showdown will be at Armageddon, according to the word on the pale horse, riding on it with a name tacked on him, Death, and Antichrist, the Antichrist. Listen, Antichrist, first denomination, that can't be spirit, but with this Jezebel, a prostitute to the word with her daughters, Protestants gathering themselves together now in unity. Fixing to show the greatest battle that would ever be fought in the world except final Gog and Magog. And the prophet says they're gathering from four corners of the earth, and he never mentions an airplane. He never mentions a bomb. He never mentions nothing. He starts talking about Protestants and Catholics gathering. Watch that in a minute and you'll see it. 322. Now here they are joining themselves together, coming to that showdown to Armageddon, riding on a mixed colored horse, coming into the battle, gathering his subjects from every nation under heaven. Did not Daniel interpret the dream and seen that streak of iron running to every kingdom of Rome? Didn't he see it running to every kingdom of Rome? Rome goes to every kingdom of the world. Here they come gathering. Now sit still for the close just a moment. In Revelations 19, not only is he getting ready, but Christ is getting ready to meet him. The battle is going to be hot and heavy. Christ in Revelations 19, Christ is gathering his from the four corners of the earth because there's going to be a little bitty remnant. What's he doing? He's gathering them from the four corners of heaven. Now watch that. Watch that when we get over here just in a minute. A little bit different than you'd think. We'll get them souls on the altar tomorrow night and see whether it's right or not. He talks about how that his name is on him and all, and how here we see life and death come into their final struggle. The white horse of true life, the pale horse of mixed creed. You see the thing is coming to the real showdown. It's 323. Now, 325. Here comes Satan with all four corners of the earth, with his Protestants and with his Catholics, and all together marching right up to the Battle of Armageddon. Didn't say nothing about Russia, China. He talks about Protestants and Catholics. All right, here comes Jesus coming down from heaven with resurrected saints, vindicated word. Now he's come with resurrected saints, vindicating that his word is true. Now watch this part of it. So Satan knows. Now watch, if them saints is going to come down, they've got to go up somewhere. Brother Branham says that he's gathering his from the four corners of heaven and comes down. Satan gathers his from the four corners of the earth. Protestants and Catholics. But here he's talking about the church. The church then's got to go up. He's come with resurrected saints, vindicating that his word is true. So Satan knows in the bottomless pit is ready for him, see? While, now watch that little word right there. While death rode the pale horse. During the time death rode the pale horse. While, see? Mixed creeds and denominations and followed him. Oh my, the eternal separation from God. That's where he rode them to eternal separation. Christ rode his church right into glory in the resurrection. So he had to take them up, didn't he? He takes it up before the natural battle. Now, think about it. You say, how would it be Catholics and Protestants that would be gathering there at Armageddon when we all have been taught that it's Russia and China and this and that and the other? It's just what I said a minute ago. The Bible said, when you see Jerusalem compassed about on all sides, not one side for Russia. Did you know that there are trillions of trillions? We were watching a film in Atlanta the other night at the minister's meeting showing Israel. And they said the reason that Dead Sea was so rich until the water just don't go nowhere and it just brings all them minerals down in there, you know, water washing, and it just comes down in there and just settles down. It has nowhere to go. And it just turns into rich material. It don't wash off. There's trillions of trillions of dollars of minerals right there in that Dead Sea alone. I caught something off that I never had seen before. That city that comes down 1,500 square miles, that's the way the prophet taught it. And do you know that Israel is 1,400 square miles? Do you notice that in that film? They said there was 1,400 square miles of land territory that they had. The city comes down, it's 1,500 square miles. It's going to cover it all up, ain't it? But just think, how would it be Protestants and Catholics now that would come down that you're talking about a bloody battle that's going to be millions of soldiers killed, that God will call the fowls of the air together to feast upon the bodies, and he covers it over on the next page and shows their bodies about 327. Somewhere in there he shows their dead bodies and how they're eat by the birds that are called in using Revelation 19. That's the reason I read that scripture. But just think, how is it Protestants and Catholics? Why didn't Brother Brown say Russia coming this way and China coming this way and this and coming that way and that and coming that way and oh, just a great battle down in Megiddo and planes are flying every which way and all that? He could have used that as a natural application and still used the bride as a spiritual application, you know, and still had a spiritual Armageddon to the bride, the natural type and the spiritual. But he didn't bring it that way, did he? He said Protestants and Catholics gathering together, coming down to the final battle. Because Daniel, as I read to you there in a fast reading through, maybe you missed it, 322, he said Daniel saw that streak of Rome run into every nation. Then when every nation comes to battle against Israel, who would they be then? Oh, sure, you'd see Russia's flag flying, but do you know during World War I, when they went to battle against Germany, I believe it was, or one of those, I believe it was Germany or Japan, Germany, World War I, that on the belt buckle of the German soldier, you know what was on his belt buckle? In God we trust. 2 religious nations fighting each other that claim to believe the same God. Because Germany had her change of the gospel before we ever got it. But just think, Daniel saw that streak of Rome. What was that streak of Rome now? What would be the streak of Rome? You mean Roman natural genes went out and here you got a Russian have a Roman baby and this and that and it just spreads out that. No, you're not talking about garbage.
Those three unclean spirits like frogs. That Trinitarian doctrine went into every nation of the world. Every nation in the world now. Over in Russia, they have churches over there. They call them all Pentecostal. They don't call them Baptist, Methodist, and they're all called Pentecostals. But they've got all kind of churches over there. And do you realize right now what would bring Russia down over there? I thought Russia was a tool raised up, the prophet said, to destroy the United States and things like that with. I thought we were supposed to believe the gospel the prophet had taught us. Then it would be the three unclean spirits, like frogs, going out to every nation, the Trinitarian doctrine, all of that's bound up in that, that it goes out and it brings every one of them right down to the last battle. And when you see it fought, when God sees the battle fought, He didn't see Russia and China and this and that and the other. When God saw the battle being fought and told the prophet about it and He spoke on it, what did He call them? Protestants and Catholics. Where at one time, as I said back there, the Catholics put 68 million Protestants to death. But then you see them now with that same doctrinal idea implanted into their mind that the Catholic has, and there's not a bit of difference in the teaching of the Catholic on the Godhead than there is in the Baptist and Methodist. You show me one dab of teaching in it. There sits a Catholic right there. He knows they're formerly Catholic, Brother Smart. They taught the Godhead just exactly like the Baptists did. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, you say they pray to Mary. Brother Ryan said he didn't care who you prayed to. You can call him Jesus all you want to. You was praying to the devil when you done it that way too. What's the forces? The prophet of God that's supposed to give us the end time revelation didn't mention Russia and China and this and that and the other fighting. He went right to the core of the matter and said, Protestants and Catholics coming down to fight against Israel. You ever talk to a good Baptist about Israel? Well, bless God, I don't think we ought to go over there and fight for them. You say, yeah, but that's God's chosen people. They crucified the Messiah. I don't think they ought to have a chance. You ever talk with any? I have. I've been there. I've talked with people that had that idea. Do you know that a man got caught with it back under years ago that was a church-age messenger? Martin Luther said all of the Jews ought to be run out over there. And do you know Adolf Hitler, Brother Ryan, said just fulfill what Martin Luther said? Martin Luther didn't mean they all ought to be killed. But the thing that made him say that, made Hitler do that. You see what I'm talking about? What made Martin Luther say that, that power of that Trinitarian doctrine that the devil has implanted in our minds from the very beginning, when there's no such thing in the Bible, it's one true and living God. But the thing that he planted in our brains from the very beginning brought it down there and made Martin Luther say the old ought to be, all ought to be taken out over there, or something of that order. And Adolf Hitler just come along and done what he said ought to be done. The same spirit caused it, didn't it? God sees it in the end time gathering to Armageddon. And he don't see Russia and China. He sees Israel compassed about on all sides, which means the United States on one side and Russia and China and this and that and the other gathered all around Israel now until she's just a little spot there on the map of the world. But yet everybody's gathering there. Everybody's gathering to that place. And you see it as Protestants and Catholics, not as Russia and China and Israel and this and that and the other. When Israel sees the whole world, listen, the whole world goes into a covenant. Is that true? The Antichrist makes a covenant with the Jews. He already has all the Protestants and Catholics. He makes a covenant with the natural Jew. And what causes the battle of Armageddon to be fought is that he, when he goes into that temple of God, showing himself to be as God there and declaring himself that he is ruler then of all of it, Israel as a nation, not the 144,000, Israel as a nation rebels against that. The foolish virgin rebels against that. Satan then sends out all his forces against that foolish virgin and against Israel as a natural nation. They all gather to go there. We've always been taught and heard the prophet say that for the Catholics, that who can fight against him? And he said the Catholics, the Pope just say, all Catholics come home and they won't fight. You think the Trinitarian doctrine ain't got the Protestants so deceived until they'll do the same thing? The Bible said it'd come to a day to where they'd kill you thinking they're doing God a service. How blinded could a person get that you could commit murder and do God a service? Well, bless God, I put that Jim Jones and them out of commission over there. Same devil. The fourth seal shows that the devil is in every nation of the world, all over the whole world. And through his power of the Trinitarian doctrine he's taught the people, he gathers them right around one day and brings them right to Israel. Sure, there'll be airplanes flying down through Megiddo. Sure, there'll be all kind of things happening. But we'll take up the sixth seal, the Lord willing, when we get to it and see a little bit more about the fighting. Because God comes on the scene there under the sixth seal and fights for Israel. He comes there and fights for that little holy place. But do you see now why the prophet would say it? Maybe you'd never thought of that. Or you see why he would say Protestants and Catholics coming together to fight against Israel? Because that streak of Rome, that Trinitarian doctrine, has infiltrated every nation of the world. Until it brings them to a battle. You watch it when we get into the spiritual side of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's brought it to where that brothers and sisters are against one another. Coming to a decisive battle there. But we're looking at the natural side of it. Rome sends her forces together against Israel. Then God comes and destroys them. And on page 327, he shows the bodies that the birds, Revelations 19. The bodies of the people are eaten by the birds, showing that the battle is over. But just think now. What will be the final battle there? It'll give you an idea where we're headed with the rest of it. What will be the final battle of Armageddon? When God comes down and through those two witnesses, the word of their mouth destroys the beast. The word of their mouth is what destroys. Then surely we can see that the word of the mouth of the bride of Jesus Christ, God will have to come in her so much until he will destroy death. It will be totally annihilated. But why fear now? We've done seen enough now, we ought to be able to understand a little bit about it. Death is a perversion of life. It's not a power. George, would you come? It's not a power. It's a permitted thing. Let's sing it, George. When the saints go marching in, what is it? Let's stand together. Let's sing this. When the saints go marching in, because the prophet was standing watching one day on the side of the road, a great parade happening. And he saw all of the ones coming down. One day you'll see all of the bride of Jesus Christ gathering to go down through there. But just think about it now. Think how serious it is to be caught. As we covered last week, what is the mark of the beast? The literal mark that comes over there about the not being able to buy or sell, that comes in the tribulation period after we're gone. But do you realize when you're not If you're not born again this day, you are already marked by the mark of the beast. You already have the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast is to reject God. The seal of God is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You already have the mark of the beast. That's the way the prophet taught it. Then you ought to know it, that you're part of that forces where Satan's getting his power. It's from that. I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin, on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, oh, I know I'll see my, think of it now. If you don't have the seal of God this morning, you have the mark of the beast. See, everybody's looked for the mark of the beast. They think it's 666 put on your forehead. They think it's a number put in your hand that you can't see unless you got a certain light to put over it. No, let's get down to the beginning of it. It's the devil in his doctrine, because the Bible said in your forehead. It didn't say on your forehead. What's in your forehead? Your brain. What's in your brain? All the knowledge that has been accumulated of the devil and his perverted teaching of the Word. But then you can have the mark of the beast right there in your forehead this morning and not even realize. If you don't have the seal of God, you already have it. When the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in, listen to the words of the song. When we gather round the throne and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting glory, glory when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go, before we sing that last one, now think of this. There was a man one time named Elijah. He needed a way to get to heaven. He done got old. He traveled and he'd walked for the Lord all of his life. He had fought the Jezebel systems and things like that. And one day, he and another man that was walking with him named Elisha, they was coming down to a river. And on the other side of the river, Elijah looked. He saw a chariot of fire. He saw horses of fire standing there. What brought that? What caused that to meet Elijah? Was because Elijah had stayed with the Word. And the Word provided him a chariot to go home. Made him a way to go home. Brother Branham said, one day them flying saucers you heard of, see, there's all kind of perversions out there. Not everything seen is flying saucers. But he said, look at them, said, one of these days, said, one of them flying saucers will just come right down and pick you up and take you out of here. Now, what causes that flying saucer to come? Wouldn't it be the same reason that Elijah's chariot came? The Word produces a way home for us. Now let's sing this verse. I am waiting for the chariot to swing low and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven when the saints go marching in. Sing it to the Lord now. When the saints, anyone have a need, the altar's open. When the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
Amen. We appreciate each one of you being out, fellowshipping with us. Just pray one for another this afternoon. Lord willing, Brother Hansis will be speaking for us tonight. And just pray one for another as we dismiss, because in this hour and time, Satan and all of his forces are gathered, but yet the Word will take care of us. It'll provide a place for us. Remember, we won't be having any watch night service this time here. If you can find any place you want to go, somewhere or other church or something that's having a watch night, go fellowship with them and have a good time in the Lord. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Father, we thank you for an opportunity of being here, and we ask that you would just guide us, forgive our sins, and Lord, just set us free in your loving grace. May the people see that we're trying to preach about you, Lord. We get these natural things out of the way, then we can see, surely, the gospel of Jesus Christ as it's gathering around the bride of Christ in this day to set us free. Guide us now. Bless the people on the highway. Supply every need. In Jesus' name we ask it. You're dismissed. Take the...